Here are the WGXC headlines for Tuesday, March 7th. Four Americans who crossed into Mexico last week to get better health care got caught in a deadly shootout and were kidnapped by heavily armed men, authorities report. A sharp drop in illegal border crossings since December has been reported, with an official saying they fell from 250,000 in December to 130,000 in February. Researchers at Cyabra, an Israeli tech firm, say that over the past 11 months, someone created thousands of fake automated Twitter accounts, perhaps hundreds of thousands of them, to offer a stream of praise for Donald Trump. The fake accounts attacked Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis, two Trump rivals trying to win the Republican nomination for president in 2024. The American Glory restaurant, which owns restaurants in Hudson and Tannersville, has been ordered to pay $65,000 to settle a race harassment and retaliation discrimination lawsuit filed by the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. Columbia Green Community College's new cannabis classes have proven popular at the Greenport School this year, and the retail store H&M is selling a sweatshirt that says Upstate NYC.
Hello, this is Jonathan Paley of the Paley Brothers, and you're listening to 90.7 FM, WGXC, ACRA.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in ACRA, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show, and we have a busy morning show this morning. We're going to hear about how the folks running the now-closed Indian Point nuclear power plant along the Hudson River south of our area plan to put low-level radioactive wastewater into the Hudson River, and we'll hear about opposition to that plan. We'll also hear national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate and more on the WGXC Morning Show. It all starts after Jason Martin from Troy's finished singing this song. Then it's time for the local news on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
Connection and the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
Catskill Town Board meets every first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at the Catskill Town Hall and holds a committee meeting the third Wednesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. You can turn out in person at the Catskill Town Hall to speak at these meetings or tune in to a live web stream through the Catskill Town Board and WGXC. Go to wgxc.org/listen or click on the listen button at wgxc.org to tune in to any of the Catskill Town Board meetings, the first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. and the third Wednesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at wgxc.org and townofcatskillny.gov.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by SunCommon, supporting vibrant communities across New York for 15 years. Offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Claire in Acre, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Daily News for Tuesday, March 7th. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. Patricia R. Doxey reports for the Daily Freeman that the head of Ulster County's payroll department, Wendy Trojak, has resigned. That resignation comes days after Ulster County Finance Commissioner Bert Golnick quit amid allegations that he stole thousands of dollars from the not-for-profit Hurley Recreation Association, where he served as treasurer. Assistant County Executive Evan Menist did not say when Trojak resigned, while her LinkedIn page says she has been the payroll manager for the county since 2006. State Police Troop F spokesperson Stephen Neville said March 6 that there is an investigation into the accusations against Golnick. New Ulster County Executive Jen Metzger wants the State Comptroller's Office to conduct a forensic audit of the county's books. Metzger said, quote, they have a whole investigative team, so we hope that we'll get the final word soon and they'll agree to come in, unquote. Jennifer Freeman, a spokesperson for the Comptroller's Office, said on March 6 there is an investigation into the finance department, although she declined to provide details of that investigation. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. Less than 2 weeks before Hunter Mayor Michael Papa faces four challengers in the village election, Nancy Kern writes in a story in Columbia Green Media that with the headline, quote, Mayor abuses power, bullies, unquote. Hunter Building Inspector Carl Giagrande says, quote, it's a heated political environment now before the election. There's no shortage of people who have opinions. It's a lot going on, unquote. Village resident Susan Holmes said of Papa, quote, he verbally abuses. He's not a nice person. He's a bully. I call him Mussolini, unquote. Current Highway Superintendent Alan W. Higgins is running against Papa and said he witnessed an incident where Papa verbally abused Holmes after she got back results from a Freedom of Information Law request from Village Clerk Kathleen Hilbert. Quote, he called her a liar, unquote, Higgins said. Quote, he was mad she got the information, unquote. Then after the meeting, Papa moved FOIL responsibilities to Trustee Dorothy Grasso instead of the village clerk. Papa denies the allegations. Quote, there is a small group of village residents who disagree with any type of progress I'm trying to make in this village, unquote, he said. Quote, I don't see it the way they see it. I see it as an assertive form of leadership, unquote. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Rick Carlin reports in the Times Union that New York Attorney General Letitia James has joined with 13 of her counterparts in other states to oppose a proposal by a Texas-based company to ship frozen ethane by rail. The trains with ethane might traverse part of New York. The attorneys general wrote in a letter that the recent train disaster in Ohio, quote, illustrates the inherent danger of transporting hazardous materials by rail, unquote. In recent years, local activists protested trainloads of crude oil coming to the Port of Albany, calling them, quote, bomb trains, unquote, that posed a fire or explosion hazard. The oil shipments have stopped, but ethanol trains still come to the port. Cryogenic liquefied ethane, the proposed freight now, is less flammable. Still, James and other attorneys general told the Department of Transportation's Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration they are against the proposal. The application is more than a year old, but the letter of opposition came only after the Ohio train disaster. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Tuesday, March 7th. Local early morning temperatures range from 25 degrees in Tannersville to 34 in Red Hook. Regional average soil temperature is 34. Conditions today will be freezing, almost frigid. A high temperature of 35 happens at 9 a.m., but that doesn't really help out very much because moderate clouds and strong winds will make it pretty unpleasant outside. Layer up well if you gotta head out. Wind gusts reach 34 miles per hour and will last into the night, where we see a low of 25 degrees. Tomorrow, nicer. Winds calm a bit, but remain stiff, and we see a high of 41. Conditions will still technically be freezing. Overnight, we hit a low temperature of 29, then pop back up to 40 degrees Thursday afternoon. Friday, still a little windy with a high of 43. That wind and regular temperature fluctuation is gonna get that sap flowing. And Since there is less than 2 weeks till spring, here's a fun little preview. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 2:59 a.m., then low tide at 9:17 a.m. High tide happens again at 3:06 p.m., and low tide happens once again at 9:47 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 37 degrees, and the tide strength will be high. If you happen to be looking for more stuff like charts, local information, and satellite imagery and movies, look for us on Telegram. Just search The Better Weather, all one word. Sunset today will be at 5:38 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:17 a.m. Looking way up, we see X-class flare chances are at 10%. Solar wind speed is currently 570 kilometers per second at 5.8 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 megahertz till dark, then fair below 60 megahertz overnight. Expect those high wind speeds, those high solar wind speeds, to cause some interference, especially around the poles. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3.6, quiet. The current sunspot number is 173. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
This is deprogramming from the Universal Media Network.
To her code, love struck, was my mold. Took a look, dropped my textbook, Jennifer.
Oh!
Breakfast, broke it fast. She was in my English class. Asked for notes, rocked my boat, Jennifer.
Oh!
Jenny, lost her favorite penny. So I gave her a dollar. She kissed me.
And I hollered.
In a flash, the school bell rang. Jenny grabbed onto my hand. Took me home and said, "True gorgeous."
Swing it, swing it, swing!
The downstairs, where we met. I brought records, she cassettes. Lost the break, found her shape, Jennifer, oh Jenny. Transcript showed more than flirt. I love daisies, red her shirt. Grab my jeans, Jimmy scream, Jennifer, oh Jenny. Marlowe's shaped like a boss. No one can live their life apart. Found a house, aroused my joust, Jennifer, oh Jenny. Her clothes, I did shuck. Just like Dan, I strictly stuck. To the punt, she cried, kick it, pasta noose was in. Jenny, only thought about Jimmy, but asked was I a virgin, like some kid in Derwin? She said, let's try it in the bathroom, but the noose is way above sinks. So to the kitchen, she did Dan and came back wrapping some ran.
Now wait a minute!
Little Derwin got something to show us that Jenny can never do.
Listen.
Hey, look at little Derwin.
Look at him go, look at him go.
Oh, baby.
Positions, muscles flex. Dove was lost in a Ghana hex. Passed her test, felt her teddy. Jennifer, oh, Jenny. Notions, soothe the mood. Dove was lost in De La Heaven. Screen plug two, did the do. Jennifer, oh, Jenny. Jenny, tease my homeboy Granny. In fact, she teased so many. She was known as a garden tool.
No more, I dispatch. Was it Jimmy had met his match? Or could it be the realization all girls own a Jenny? For normal health, I had fought. A valuable lesson she had taught. Don't flaunt that the candy is good unless you can be clean.
That was Faust with Jennifer from the Faust 4 album on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
In 2016, I declared, I am your voice. Today, I add, I am your warrior. I am your justice. And for those who have been wronged and betrayed, I am your retribution.
Former President Donald Trump told the Conservative Political Action Conference in Maryland over the weekend to obliterate the deep state and make America free. Despite some opposition, Trump remains the GOP's 2024 frontrunner. But a recent PBS NewsHour NPR Marist poll shows President Joe Biden has more support among Democrats than Trump does with Republicans. Former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations Nikki Haley also spoke at the conference. A recent Quinnipiac poll finds she's not as popular as Trump and other GOP frontrunners like Ron DeSantis, but she appealed to more than just Republicans' ability to win an election. She noted in the last 7 presidential elections, Republican candidates have consistently lost the popular vote. Haley discussed the direction conservatives and Republicans need to take in order to win over Americans.
Our cause is right, but we have failed to win the confidence of a majority of Americans. That ends now. If you're tired of losing, put your trust in a new generation. And if you want to win, not just as a party, but as a country, then stand with me.
A recent survey from the Partnership for Public Service finds 58% of people have an unfavorable view of the federal government. But most said they had a positive experience when interacting with the government. While people may not have a positive outlook on bickering politicians in Washington, Max Steyer with the Partnership for Public Service notes there's more to the federal government than those working in Washington.
Our federal government is made up of 2 million career civil servants spread out across our country, across the world. And the experiences that most of the American public have with those civil servants is very positive.
Residents and lawmakers in New York and Massachusetts have been pushing back against Holtec International, which owns decommissioned nuclear power plants in the states. The company has proposed getting rid of treated, albeit still radioactive, waste by dumping it into nearby bodies of water, prompting ire from opponents. In New York, that would mean the Hudson River, in which 200 miles are considered a Superfund site by the EPA. During a recent forum, Dr. Helen Caldicott, an anti-nuclear advocate and physicist, described some of the elements in nuclear waste that could end up in the river, including tritium.
Tritium becomes part of the water, H3O instead of H2O. Tritium gets out into the atmosphere from nuclear power plants, and if you're immersed in a cloud of fog near a nuclear power plant, the tritium in the fog can actually enter the skin.
I'm Edwin J. Vieira for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Over $606 million in dark money was poured into the 2022 midterm races by nonprofit groups, most of which do not disclose their donors. The Disclose Act, just proposed again in the U.S. Senate, tries to shine a light on those donors. February 23rd, U.S. Senator Sheldon Whitehouse and U.S. Representative David Cicilline reintroduced the legislation along with 163 House and Senate co-sponsors. The bill deadlocked in the U.S. Senate in 2022. Should it pass, the legislation requires nonprofit 501c3 and C4 groups making political expenditures to immediately disclose any donor contributing $10,000 or more. Money and politics research group Open Secrets found that both Republican and Democratic dark money groups funneled millions in cash into ads and super PACs, much of which was never disclosed directly to the Federal Elections Commission. Since the 2010 Citizens United decision, dark money skyrocketed from $5 million in 2006 to over $1 billion in 2020. The legislation would also crack down on the use of shell corporation donors and requires an organization running television advertising to disclose its top 5 funders at the end of ads. We have more about the Disclose Act and stunning Open Secrets dark money data at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Veal.
Next, we hear the Flower Shop Blues Boogie from Columbia County's Slink Moss Explosion from their 2022 album Floating Ghost Hotel. Thank you.
flowers to a door. That's when she told me, don't wanna see no more. I'm feeling low, I'm feeling blue. I got the lowdown blue. Standing on the corner, flowers in my hand. Wasn't part of my original plan. I'm feeling low, I'm feeling blue. I got the lowdown, lowdown blue. Down to the river, drop the flowers in the river. Watch the flowers flowing away.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We're joined with Marilyn Ellie, who is an organizer at the Indian Point Safe Energy Coalition, one of the lead groups that helped shut down the Indian Point nuclear power plant. But recently, in the news, it appears that the company that owns the plant, decommissioned in Holtec, wants to discharge radioactive waste water into the Hudson River, actually something apparently they've been doing during the operation of the plant. But that seemed a little not a great idea. So we asked Marilyn to come on and say, you know, what are the people's reaction to this proposal?
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you for the introduction and the credit for closing down Indian Point. However, I really want to be clear. It was the economics of the issue. That's why Entergy got out of nuclear in the Northeast. That's a whole other story. But the activists and all the stuff that we did certainly did have an impact. So thank you for that. Now, we're already in the plant's closed. You don't just turn the key and, you know, close the windows and walk away. Decommissioning is a big deal. And it has to be made very safe for the public because you're dealing with radioactive substances. The biggest thing that has come up lately is tritium. And it's in the water in the spent fuel pools where the radioactive fuel rods have been stored. And that's why it is radioactive. That's why it's laced with boron and with tritium and with other radioactive isotopes. So you've got 1 million gallons of this water. And Holtec, which is the company that is decommissioning the plant, is living up to their reputation. Let me say it that way. Quick, cheap, and dirty, because they're maximizing their profit, you know. Good old American capitalism at work. So what they want to do with the water is what they have done in the past under NRC regulations, which is just, yeah, go ahead and dump it in the Hudson. Let's just use the Hudson as a sewer. You know, you had to do that when the plant was operating, so what's wrong with doing it now? And my contention, and that of many others as they look at this, is that things have changed. These regulations are from 1970, and they never really looked at all at what these radioactive isotopes do inside the body. There was never any kind of medical evaluation. It was all bureaucratic, based on this, we have this, so we can do this. And that's what's been going on since 1970. And there is no hard science on this. There's some very good indications of what happens. And there are some forums. I'll certainly give you all the links and everything. But Dr. Helen Caldicott, Dr. Mary Olson, who is a biologist and a radiologist who studies radiology and gender, and many others have looked at this. And they've said every time you ingest or inhale, and that's something the regulations don't look at all. But if you ingest or inhale through water or through air, a tritium molecule, it's like a little time bomb that just goes off. And it keeps, it's beta radiation. But it just keeps ticking away. And what it does, for as long as it's in your body, it might be 12 days, you know, until it's excreted, it might just stay there.
How has the Nuclear Regulatory Commission reacted to this? Have they listened to the local citizens? I also understand that Senator Harkin and Assemblymember Levenberg has introduced legislation to get the state to say no. And would that be controlling in the situation? Federal preemption, is that an issue?
Yes, and I will deal with that. But I just want to say, if you inhale or ingest a tritium molecule, you've got a little time bomb going off that damages your DNA. I just need to be real clear on that. Now, the NRC doesn't see any of this. They don't. They're just blind to it. They've always looked at a different kind of regulation, but we're in a different time now, and we're moving towards looking at things medically. Now, who's in charge? Well, this is all uncharted territory, Mark. And I don't. Nobody at this point knows exactly what's going to happen. I have been looking at this, and I think that why take a chance? We have a precautionary principle here. Why use the Hudson as a dumping ground? It's no longer a sewer. Things have changed, and people's attitudes have changed.
What has been the response of local governments? Have any of the city, counties, towns in the nearby area stood up and said, no way, stop this?
It's been amazing. In fact, I think we're forgetting material and resources and everything out. We're a little behind people in this, because people hear this and say, what? You want to do what? You want to put radioactive water in my Hudson River? So the county has a resolution, which I believe they're passing today. There are other
county, Westchester County?
Westchester County, yes. Uh-huh. People are sending in requests for a municipal resolution that says, you know, it has all the whereases in it, but basically it says, this is not good, we don't want you to do it, and we stand opposed to it. That has been almost the universal reaction to dumping this. And a lot of people are not looking at the amount of radiation. They're just saying it's bad policy. It is simply bad policy.
Has this risen to the level where the Biden administration has done any type of response? Have Nuclear Regulatory Commission a little bit independent? What's the White House and Chuck Schumer, Senate Majority Leader?
Yeah.
What are they saying on this?
You mean Chuck Schumer, who gets a lot of money from Holtec and the nuclear industry, that Chuck Schumer?
So, apparently.
They're not saying a lot. Right now, we're working on the local level, and we're building up to Governor Hochul. She will have some power over this. I'm telling you, this is a very this is a first of kind of situation. So there are no clear rules for this yet, and we're finding our way. But yes, we are. I've been writing to the governor, and we're certainly talking to all of our municipal electeds. And it really is a no-brainer. Do you want to put radioactive waste in the Hudson? No, thank you. people have really seemed to have gotten on board with this.
Is there any possibility of litigation to stop it?
Yes, yeah, sure. Well, what we're going to need is an injunction, probably, because Holtec's position is that they've always done this. They have the authority to do it now under the regulations, and so they're going to go ahead and do it. They're having the same conversation in Massachusetts with Pilgrim, and they refuse to say that they won't dump it into Cape Cod Bay. People up there are having a fit too, and rightly so. They've got the oyster industry and everything else there that they're working with. And we're sort of following along in their footsteps, actually. They're a little bit ahead of us because Holtec has decided it wants to be the decommissioning company du jour, I guess you would say. They are just looking for every opportunity they can to get rid of all this stuff, to do it quick and dirty. They say they can be out in 12 years, which is pretty remarkable, and they are moving along very quickly. That's why they're talking about dumping this radioactive waste in August, in the summer, maybe before, maybe after. It's a construction project, so you don't quite know, but they're saying is that they're going to have all of the spent fuel rods out, which are the high-level radioactive, most toxic waste there is. They're putting them in canisters and casks, putting them on a pad, and then basically after that, it's just clean up to clean up deconstruction, you know, buildings and roads and all of that stuff, mostly low waste. And tritium, I will say, we're not talking high level radioactive waste with tritium. It is low level waste. And some people say, well, just ship it away. And I just shake my head at that. There is no away.
We have been talking with Marilyn Ellie of the Indian Point Safe Energy Coalition. They are just now updating their website, which is at ipsecinfo.org, Indian Point Safe Energy Coalition info.org. For more information, you can check there. And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
To the planet.
from the WGXC Newsroom. This is the WGXC News Update. Alexandra Zizou reports in the Times Union, an unseasonably warm and mostly snow-free winter may lead to premature emergence of tick nymphs, frogs, and flowers this spring, as well as toxic algal blooms this summer. Mark Schlesinger, chief zoologist at the DEC's New York Natural Heritage Program, said, and I quote, "Any particular winter can see warm-ups and strange aberrations of 50 degrees in February for a short period. It's the long-term patterns we are more concerned about," end quote. While bears emerging early from their winter slumber could be all right with little food to eat, since they stored extra fat last fall, insects out early might not find food yet. Schlesinger says, and I quote, "Insects that rely on those plants might be timed wrong. Those kinds of mismatches of timing are what we worry about," end quote. And they may also suffer from an inevitable cold snap this spring. And ticks may be out and about already. Richard Osfield, distinguishing senior scientist at Cary Institute of Ecosystem Studies in Millbrook, said, and I quote, "They come out whenever it's above 40 degrees, and it's been above 40 almost every month and almost every week all winter long," end quote. Jessica Frost, the U.S. Science Director of Blue Green Water Technologies, warns all of this is very difficult to predict. Frost said, and I quote, "Biology can be incredibly unpredictable. We need data to make things predictable," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. WWNY reports that Representative Elise Stefanik endorsed Donald Trump for president in 2024 on March 4th at the Conservative Political Action Conference. Stefanik said, and I quote, "We see past the left's politics of personal destruction. We see past the left's politics of personal destruction. We have exposed the corrupt and complicit mainstream media, and we must take our country back in 2024 by re-electing President Donald J. Trump," end quote. On the night after a riotous mob attempted to overthrow the U.S. government, Stefanik voted against certifying the fair results of the 2020 election, attempting to make Trump president against the will of the electorate. Stefanik represents the 21st Congressional District in New York, which now includes Rensselaer County. Read more about this story at the WWNY website. On March 9th, Columbia County's public transportation service expands, adding a new run of its shopping shuttle bus from 6:45 a.m. to 8 a.m., Monday through Saturday, and another on Sundays from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Public Transportation Committee Chair and Supervisor Michael Chimides said, and I quote, "Public transportation contributes to economic development, public health, and quality of life. I am grateful to be working with great partners to improve this vital service," end quote. There were over 21,000 trips on the shopping shuttle bus in 2022, which loops through major shopping spots and other locations in Greenport and Hudson. The Columbia County Board of Supervisors is considering other changes to its transportation policies and will hold public hearings on the issue at 6:30 p.m. March 15th at 401 State Street and another online hearing at 6 p.m. on March 28th. You can find a link to that meeting on the WGXC Newsroom website. The public can also submit written comments by emailing sherry.franks@columbiacountyny.com. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grand. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC renewable weather forecast for Tuesday, March 7th. And we begin each renewable weather forecast with the price of fossil fuels in Greene County. The Mobil in Cairo has gas at $3.35 a gallon. That's the lowest according to the Gas Buddy website. The air quality forecast is a 36, which is considered low. The UV index on Tuesday, March 7th is a 3, moderate. The water temperature in the Hudson River is at 38.5 degrees, And on average, on the past 10 years on March 7th, it's averaged at about 36.5 degrees. So we're about 2 degrees above normal for the past 10 years. The National Weather Service in Albany predicts a partly sunny Tuesday with a high of 30. It will be blustery with a northwest wind 14 to 23 miles per hour with gusts as high as 37 miles per hour spinning local windmills. Tonight, the forecast is for cloudy skies with a low around 20 and continued blustery conditions with a northwest wind 17 to 22 miles per hour with gusts as high as 34 miles per hour. Then on Wednesday, it's partly sunny with a high of 34 and a northwest wind continues at 14 to 17 miles per hour. Wednesday night should be mostly cloudy with a low around 25 and continued northwest wind 11 to 17 miles per hour. Thursday should be cloudy with a high of 36 and a low around 22. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ears.
I heard it. We'll be right back.